Greetings, everyone.
Hello, how are you?
All right. A bit tired, but that seems to be a mostly perpetual state these days.
Amen to that.
Just trying to find the fic in Bartimus Crotchety's many offerings.
Do you need a link? I've got it up.
We're trying to... Maggie, don't knock things over on me, huh? So anyhow, Scott, I subscribed to AWNP.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they just released a podcast last night or yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that after I was talking to you about it, but mm-hmm. I haven't tried listening to that one yet.
And it's live, and they have special guests, and it's hilarious.
Nice.
And let's
have you
just say
hit the one where they first have their first ever guest yet?
Yes, I've just listened to that one. I missed that. Yeah. I downloaded the first six episodes, and episode four, which is that one, didn't load for some reason. So I didn't have it until this morning, but I did just listen to that. Is that the same lady that plays?
Zara, yes.
Zara, that's what I thought. The name wasn't right. I didn't think Mary Elizabeth McGlynn.
Yeah.
Okay, they just kept calling her Mary Elizabeth, and that threw me. But the voice sounded right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that one was really good,
it's
too.
Before Critical Role even became a thing, so.
Yeah, well, let's just say that Laura burps better than the men. She burped her
I've heard stories about that on, like, their periscopes and things before. I don't know that I've actually witnessed it, but.
She burped her way through this live episode. It was hilarious.
I think it's come up on Critical Role before, or some other things. Like, I think especially the live show, she was nervous or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Apparently, Yaxley's first name is Corbin.
Corbin?
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
C-O-R-B-A-N.
Is
that canon?
Yeah, because the ebook versions of the stuff on Pottermore apparently has more info.
I haven't
like
finished
that.
All of those yet.
And then, yeah, there's all kinds of other info. I just posted a thing on the Poofwa Facebook page. I called BS on number 8.
I saw that you had called. I haven't read them yet because I was getting ready.
Because number 8 was like, after Slughorn fought in the battle, everybody started liking Slytherins a little bit more. And I'm like, uh-uh. No, they didn't. Case in point, cursed child.
Well, you could always decide this is canon and go with that instead of cursed child.
Yes. Well, part of cursed child, I think, is canon. But
Just parts of it,
not so much, because it's very scary. I don't want to think about it.
I get a message from her today. This is getting scary.
Oh. Well, it was getting freakish.
Maggie, if you climb up there, it's going to fall. Oh, she's going after Hat.
What is she climbing on?
She's going up the books and putting her head in Hat. She's literally crawling inside Hat right now.
Take a picture, please.
I would if I had a camera.
Well, shucks.
That's a good spot. Lay down. There you go. Good night, sweetheart. I wish I had a camera. You are so funny. Crawled up inside Hat.
Yeah, gotta find a place to curl up.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds very good.
Oh, did you hear that Matt and Marisha got engaged today, Scott?
I did not. Good for them.
They are. Congratulations to Matt and Marisha. Nobody else is going to know what we're talking about, but there you go.
I didn't know what stage of their relationship they were at.
All right, well, we better stop before we all get distracted.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Before?
Shut up.
Us?
We're
distracted?
You know, curbing our already existing distraction.
Yeah. I just literally skimmed this in 5 minutes, so I really have no idea what's going on.
Okay. Well, we'll have fun.
But I tried my best.
Yeah. I read it last year or the year before when we were doing Albus Potter.
So did I. But I reread it yesterday while I was washing 25 dozen eggs.
Oh.
Oh, my.
25 dozen and a half.
You'd supply Gaston for a while then.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a lad, I ate 4 dozen eggs every morning to help me get large. And now that I'm grown, I eat 5 dozen eggs, so I'm roughly the size of a barge.
I guess only about 3 weeks, but yeah.
Well, hopefully by then the girls will have laid us some more, so we'll be good.
Yeah.
Speaking of when is Belle coming out?
Should be soon.
The New Beauty and the Beast or whatever it's called. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just missed the stage production they were doing here, sadly.
Oh, shucks.
I was going to go watch it, and I knew it was happening in... Like, I found out about it in August or September and went, oh, yeah, that would be fun. I should go watch that, and then completely forgot when it was happening the last 4 weeks.
Aw.
Oh, well.
Why don't you start us, Scott?
Sure. There's something weird going on.
Oh, my. We need search and rescue for Skype. Well, I mean, come on. We've got two Hufflepuffs here. You could just go find them.
Hey.
You've got three now.
What have you done, Alex? You're calling people. Don't call strangers.
Oh, dear.
Wow. You almost have ruined Charlie to tell for me there.
And I told Alex, you are not welcome in my bed with squirrel breath.
Who dares enter my chamber?
Can you do that again?
Who dares enter my chambers?
Save that for something it totally needs to be cute.
You know what? I think she just replaced Scott.
Sex and snork eggs.
Awkward.
Yeah, Google food is always useful.
Okay, Google food came in to help with us.
Fun.
Well, that's always good, too.
We're not fun anymore.
You're a different kind of fun. You don't want it to be the same kind of fun.
I was going to say, I don't want to know what kind of fun you were having.
And that's all we're going to say about that, because...
Because we don't want to know what you were doing.
Thanks. Now you're just making it seem even worse. You are evil.
She's just trying to separate church and state. It's all doing the Ryan thing.
Oh, did you want to hear my stupid story?
Yes. I know you did something because you sent me a message and was like, do I have a story for you? And I'm like, oh, no.
I'm sorry. I just brought a lot of memories and I'm thinking, oh, shit. Me and my oversharing.
You do like to do that.
She flews the headmaster's office, and Albus says, good evening, Minerva, is there a problem? Albus, I have an unconscious Death Eater tied up in my office. Now, Minerva, I'm sure Severus was just...
Because we were slightly off topic.
Oh.
Off topic? Us? Oh. Never.
Us? Never. Never. Not at all.
How dare you, Sue? How dare you?
I know. We're in depth when we're not off topic.
Yeah.
Lockhart leaves before Harry and Ron can come out of the closet.
Gave you some big brassy balls.
Well, you know, we have to have balls. That's what we do.
I need to learn how to have a filter on my mouth.
Bloody buggering hell.
Oh, shit.
Bloody Merlin's galloping gargoyles.
Okay.
I hate being responsible.
Welcome to Potterfic Weekly, everybody, the flagship podcast of the Potterfic Weekly family of podcasts, where we talk about fan fiction. I'm Scott.
On the phone.
Perfect timing.
I'm Sue.
And I'm Mooney.
And today we are talking about After Magic by Bartimus Crotchety, which is actually the prequel of a fic we did two seasons ago, Albus Potter and the Year of the Badger. So we made several references to it while we were covering those, but we decided to actually go through and cover it properly. Just because.
Well, I think we had said several times, we need to cover this next season, and then I forgot to put it on the schedule, so this time I remembered. Because somebody said, aren't we going to do that thing? And I was like, oh yeah, we got to go find that.
All right.
Yeah, we meant to do that.
There's probably a long list of those.
I'm sure there are.
So, yes, this was written in 2008. Well, started in late 2008, finished in early 2009, which is, let's see, pretty much directly after The Year of the Badger finished, before he wrote the sequel, which is Albus Potter and the Black Badger Society.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a prequel to that, and apparently events in this story have some far-reaching effects that you could have witnessed in the other story, but I probably won't remember what they were.
Neither will I.
Yeah.
But it's a fun story anyway, or a well-written story. I can't really say it's fun.
No, it's not fun, but you get to learn some really neat things about Percy in it that I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. This is a multi-point of view story, and he makes a point of telling you to pay attention to the beginning of each chapter, because otherwise you might get lost. Mm-hmm. So to start off with, we are in Harry's point of view, just to be, you know,
well,
familiar.
First of all, it goes like this. So it begins early that morning. Shadows and light played tag across the walls as he walked back out of the Department of Mysteries archive. It was in the satchel. The future was in the satchel. He shouldn't have died. I'm just making it right, was the litany in his head. He walked past some unspeakables working late, but no one suspected anything. Why should they? He was above suspicion. He always did everything right. He was one of the good guys, right? Well, this time he was going to be the bad guy. It was for the greater good. The book in the satchel under his arm pulsated unpleasantly like it was alive. From the spells that were powerful enough to undo this great injustice, he was going to do what needed to be done, just as he had always done. He was going to fix it, even if it cost him his soul. For what he was attempting, that would be the price. Now, go to Harry's point of view.
Yeah. The inciting incident of this whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get to know who that is just yet, but it will come out
soon.
Mm-hmm. And then we come to Harry, who's walking to work, going around through the office, trying to not look like he's 18 years old, surrounded by 30 and 50 year olds.
Mm-hmm. Poor Harry.
But
on the other hand, he's probably done far more than most of these 50 year olds have.
In some ways, anyway, yes. Yeah. He certainly has some experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in this universe, anyway. Kingsley has told him, you have enough experience, I'll take that in place of you taking your newts. Because, you know.
Well, I think it's pretty much canon.
Mm-hmm. So he's got an apprenticeship in the Aura Department.
Mm-hmm.
And
he sort of feels like they should all look down on him and treat him as a kid. And they're all like, hi, Mr. Potter. How are you today, Mr. Potter? Oh, aren't you glad you're here today, Mr. Potter? Good morning. And he's just like, you guys aren't doing this right.
Poor Harry.
Yes. And he sits down at his, the rubble of papers and reports covering his desk, not sure what to start on first. Yes, Harry, I know the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And he's purchased an anti-exhaustion potion from the apothecary, but it hasn't kicked in yet.
No. And Ginny had come by last night, something that he always hopes for, but she arrived with tears in her eyes, and that hope turned to shared sorrow because she's still grieving for Fred. And this, you know, he wants the girl he remembers from before the final battle, and this broken girl is not her.
Yeah.
No. None of them are really taking it
well at all.
No.
George is getting drunk every night. Arthur keeps working with Muggle gadgets and sleeping in the office. And Molly is just sort of drifting around, not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie hasn't come home from Romania in months. Bill has all his attention on Fleur, which, you know, that makes sense. But
yeah, she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm. And Percy is the one who seems to be holding everybody together.
That seems to be a common occurrence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd go around all the bars at night and find George and bring him home. And he'd take care of him. And he managed the shop, which was falling apart because there were no new products. Does the books. He's hired Angelina Johnson to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a couple of new house elves, which are in the book for Albus and the Badger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Ron hasn't been there in months. He's been helping the Grangers settle in, he says. But
quote, unquote.
Her parents are fine, and Ron just spends all his time watching telly.
Right. Yeah. Getting over Fred's death was killing the most wonderful family that Harry had ever known.
Oh, Harry.
Yeah.
And he can do nothing but watch it happen. And then the head or Jerry Pottermore. That's pretty funny. I didn't catch that on the text.
Podmore, but yes.
Podmore. Looks like Pottermore.
Probably related to Sturgis.
Has called him in and shows him a magical video.
A magical video.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Isn't that what he does? Doesn't he have some sort of...
Basically, yeah. He's. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a slideshow or a projection. He casts a spell at one of the walls, and this picture swims into view of the hallway at the Department of Mysteries, and then somebody familiar is coming out, and there's something odd about it.
Yeah. And Harry's having a hard time because all he sees is the place where Sirius died. So he's trying really hard to concentrate on it. And he does notice that something's wrong because the guard's checking everyone except for the one wizard in question. And he just passes him through. And Harry says, has he been Imperius? And Jerry says, yeah, we had him checked.
Yeah. It was very neat, apparently. And we discover that this is Percy. Yeah. And Percy has taken from the archives Morgan Le Fay's spell book.
Wait, was Percy the one who was Imperius?
No, Percy the one who was doing the Imperius thing. He did the Imperius thing. He went in and stole this book.
Yeah.
Because he's going to bring Fred back. And so Harry says Morgan Le Fay, and Jerry says, well, we call her Morgana. She was, you know, a witch.
Yeah.
And, you know, why did he steal it? And Jerry hands him a piece of paper that's the manifest of spells. And he gets to the third one, realizes what he's up to, and says, Percy, what are you doing? And that is the end of chapter one.
And chapter two is George's point of view. And he's dreaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or is it a memory? It's hard to know. But he hears this. You know, this voice, and sure, it's Fred, and it says to him, he's where we hid his head boy badge that time, Georgie, old boy. You'd better get there soon. And then we have this voice, George, wake up! Not now, Percy, I'm sleeping! Okay, Aguamenti! And he gets blasted.
And it's not Percy, it's Angelina Johnson.
And she's not a happy camper. And she has heard from the household that something's going on and that he needs to get home splitchbat now because something's going on.
Yeah. And George says, what do they need me for? I'm no good for anything. You could ask Percy about that. And says, no, I can't because Percy's missing. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows where he is.
Yeah. Well, just find somewhere where people need bossing around. I guarantee you, that's where you'll find that pompous prat. And...
And she hits him.
Yeah, she slaps him.
Yeah. He says, he's been holding your family together, running your store, fixing your books, helping stock and sell things, and using his own paycheck to keep the doors open. Show some respect.
Mm-hmm. And he's thinking, what a woman! What a right hook! She always could chuck a quaffle, couldn't she, Fred? He's like, okay, don't hurt me.
George.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, he's probably just somewhere kipped under a book. Percy. It's Percy, you know, the man double stitches his undershorts. But.
And no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then she tells him.
Yeah. Harry came by and said, Percy took the most powerful dark spell book the ministry has, and one of the spells in it is for resurrection. And George says, great, finally he's doing something right. And he says, no. No, he's not. It's dark magic, and it's going to use his soul to power it.
Yeah, and she breaks down sobbing.
And then George finally gets it.
Yeah. And not only that, but he figures out that he's the one that started this because he had said in his drunken stupor, it's you that should have died, not Fred. You left the family. You turned your back on us. Why don't you trade yourself in and get him back? Nobody in the family wants you here anyway. And so that's what Percy's going to do.
Yeah. And he'd said
poor
to him,
Percy.
You're
poor
right,
Percy.
And I'll fix it. Yeah. And
I'm having a sense of deja vu. We've read another fic like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Except Foxy turns out a lot happier.
Yes.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
And he's going to go. And she says, I miss Fred too, you know. We all do. You're not the only one that's feeling the pain of him not being here. And she stands up and he flinches because he's afraid that she's going to hit him. And then she just bashes him verbally and says, Percy beats himself up every day that he wasn't the one that died. And he's killing himself slowly trying to atone. And now, brilliant wizard that he is, he thinks he's found a way to give everybody what he thinks he wants. Him gone and Fred back. And that's what really reaches George. And he realizes he doesn't want to have another death in the family.
No.
And he heads home.
Yep.
Oh, poor everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this one. The Weasley strike back. And this is chapter 3. And it's Ginny's point of view. And she's in the corner of the family room where everybody is.
And then George comes in with a ta-da.
As he kind of trips through. Cheer up, you lot. It's a rescue, not a memorial. And Ginny's like, yeah, he's right. Let's do this thing. And
they, of course, ask Harry what to do.
Mm-hmm. He's not sure. But Ginny's watching him, and finally he gets this little glint in his eyes, and she's like, that's it. He's got a plan. And he says, Hermione, I'm going to give you a letter to take to their Auror's office that are going to get you into the archives. Take Ron. And Ron's like, but I'm useless. Nope.
No, you're not, Ron.
I'm going to give you a list, and I want you to check these. And if they're, you know, we're going to maybe destroy this book once and for all. And, you know, I'm mm-hmm. the chosen one. They'll get over it if they don't like it.
Yeah. And, because he doesn't want to give the book back to the ministry when they're done.
No, because he thinks he knows why, what it is.
Mm-hmm. He's thinking this might be a Horcrux too or something like mm-hmm. that. And his point for Ron is that he'll know all the wizard legends and stories and things like the Beetle the Bard tales and such mm-hmm. that Hermione won't know to look for.
Right.
Mm. So he can help out that way. And eventually they decide, sure, we'll go for it. And he sends Mr. and Mrs. Weasley to St. Mungo's to sort of prepare the way because mm-hmm. he figures Percy's going to be suffering from dark magic regardless of when they manage to find him. So mm-hmm.
before sundown. Why before sundown? Because that's how long he has.
Yeah.
He sends Bill and Fleur to Andromeda's to get Teddy because she's going marketing and he's not going to be able to do it now.
It took me a second to realize he meant shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was taking it more like something to do with the stock market and I couldn't figure out what he was talking about. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. Andromeda's okay. An advertising consultant for some company.
Or something, yeah.
And then he sends Charlie to find a healer Romania. That might, you know dark magic from back when Grindelwald was around. And Charlie thinks he knows the guy that might do it.
Mm-hmm.
And George wants to know what he needs to do. And Harry says, well, you need to find Percy.
We skip Ginny.
Well, and Ginny has a special job. But I don't know that he tells her that he's going to need her expertise, that she might be the most important part besides George. Mm-hmm. And Harry calls George on it. You had to have been the one that said something to him. And George is like, what do you mean? And he's like, he looks up to you. And you're the only person that he would have done something like this for.
Oh, Percy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so he says, you have to find him because you always know where to find trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Look out. Here come the Weasleys.
Yeah, for sure.
I like the little note at the end. It says, I wrote a lot of detail about Harry's appearance into this chapter because it happens in the mind of a girl who's head over heels in love with him.
Yeah, it's true. He's got this figured out.
Yeah. And then we're into Hermione's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking over the shelves.
And of course she has a list.
Well, it's the mm-hmm. list that Harry gave her, so there you go.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he'd given her a list.
And And Ron's, you know, escorting her in. Hi there, official business here. No need to help us. We can find our way. We're not up to anything. Nope, nope, uh-uh. She's like,
nothing to see here. Move along.
Let me do the talking.
No. That reminds me of when she's probably just as Bellatrix and she goes into the leaking cauldron. She's like, good morning.
Yeah, I know. Whoops.
I mean, I hate you all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they make it to the Auror office well enough anyhow. And just as they get to the door, Podmer comes out and gives them a letter with full access that Kingsley has signed.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're off into the archive vault.
Yeah. Ooh, and actually, was it the last chapter? No, I have to go back to the... Let's see if I can just go back a page. In the...
Yes.
Oh, yeah, here. In this chapter, we'll find some indefinable magic that Harry has. Oh, no, this isn't the one. There was one part where it talks about, oh, here it is. It's at the beginning of chapter 4. I know this is another short chapter, but I promised you the next one has a lot of action. But there are things in this chapter that I'm planting, insignificant details that you will see later in a new light. And one of those is Kingsley. And I'm sure there's a couple of other ones in here too, but that was the one that stood out for me.
Interesting. I haven't reread this or Albus Potter recently enough to catch most of these.
Yeah. So Hermione is in her element. She's in the oldest book she's ever laid eyes on, and that includes the Hogwarts Library restricted section. Mm-hmm. And she's just... absorbing things, and she realizes that Harry's right. She's, you know, paging through books, and what Harry was thinking was right. And she's looking for Ron, but she can't find him. But there's too many things going on, so she's not going to go look for him. She just hopes he's not in trouble.
Yeah. And these Ron, are very not well in trouble, organized that's books. Really bad. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds heavenly.
Percy has apparently been labeling some of them. Mm-hmm. She thinks so anyway, because the writing's quite similar to Ron's.
Is that an inherited thing?
It can be. And if you're taught by the same people, you kind of learn to write the same way.
I suppose. Because my handwriting looks nothing like either of my parents.
Mm. I don't know.
I think it has to do with your physicality somewhat and things like that, but I don't know.
Yeah, my brothers and mine don't look anything alike. I don't think my mom's and mine look very much alike. But there aren't any, there's nothing on Morgana. She's looking and looking, and she's decided that he must have, Percy researched everything and removed what was important. They're all the files are missing. And then
Percy was being a bit silly.
He was being a bit thorough.
And then Ron comes back and...
Thorough, yes, but now that he's removed them all, they know what he was doing.
Yeah, well, they already figured that out, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, true.
They just don't know how to stop him now because he's removed all the stuff that would tell him how to stop him.
Yeah. But then Ron comes back with a brainwave. Oh, you know, I've just puttered around a little bit, found some suit of armor, there was a wand, by the guy who invented Scourgify, I figured out a way to destroy the spell book, sneezed a bit, lots of dust in here. Then, I found a nice couch. And wait a second, you found a way to destroy the spell book?
Yeah, ages ago, but I didn't want to interrupt.
Ron, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And he takes her down to the place where Morgana's tome was, probably, and... A little further down, there's the final piece to the puzzle, which I think is a journal, something.
Okay, they're on a time crunch, and Ron decided to wait for Hermione to finish with her book.
Well, you know, he may not know about the time crunch. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And there's also no saying how long it's actually been. He just says, oh, yeah, it's ages ago. But who knows whether that was
but still.
20 minutes ago or 1 minute ago.
Yeah, he's full of hyperbole. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, he's teasing her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And having a good time about it. So they found some sort of notebook that has all the things that they might need.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're...
Back at the Burrow.
Mm-hmm. And George says, well, hope you're ready because I found him.
Yeah. And Hermione says, well, as long as we can take a stroll by the lake first, we're good.
We don't know what that's about either, but we shall soon find out.
And I like the author's note here. In his own way, Ron is one of the most debated characters in the HP canon. He is maybe the most flawed, annoying, clever, and pig-headed bloke J.K. ever wrote. So,
mm-hmm.
But he says, I think if you scratch the surface, you have a stout-hearted guy who is so passionate about everything that he leads with his heart and not with his head. And you put him with Hermione.
I thought that was Harry.
But it's Ron, too. Who often leads with her head and not with his heart. With her heart, you get a couple who are so complementary to one another that them not winding up together is the strange idea.
So. Speaking of the lake, was the Lady of the Lake, that's different from Morgana, right?
Yes.
Yes.
They are okay. Two different people.
Okay. Was there anything to do with the lake in Arthur's legend? I don't remember. It's been a while.
The lake is where Merlin sword? Got the mm-hmm. sword that he gave to Arthur. Depending on the version you read, Arthur was there at the time or not.
Mm. But I thought he got it. Oh, you mean before it went in the stone?
No, different swords. They've been conflated. Oh. There's a sword from the Lady in the Lake, and there's the sword that's in the stone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Again, depending on which version you read, sometimes they are the same sword.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. I just love the beginning of this chapter.
Okay.
There's a freaking, like, hedge maze at Aunt Mariel's house mm-hmm. or something.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Blackbriar Manor.
Well, and I love this because they're like, the Weasleys show up with all of their kids, including Fred and George, to Aunt Mariel's pristine, knick-knacked house. And they go, let's not take the kids inside. Let's just let them play on the acreage and we'll go in and visit. Which is really smart because you know those kids would have destroyed her house.
Yeah.
And so they've played and played and played here, and it took them a while to figure out the hedge maze, but pretty soon they figured out the exact way to do it. And even when it moves, there's, you know, always a way through. There's you always make a left turn. I think that's the rule of thumb. And so
I don't remember. We could have used that when we were in our corn maze the other day. Mm-hmm. We got lost.
Yeah. Well, corn mazes are a little different, I think, because some of them make other things. Like most hedge mazes are based on a cube or a square kind of a situation. Mm-hmm. So
this one, our corn maze apparently was shaped like Teddy Roosevelt's head or something.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
People put all sorts of strange things in corn mazes.
Mm-hmm. They do now. It's amazing what you can do with GPS.
We almost whipped out the GPS.
You probably would have been better off.
We're like, I can't read because the map didn't match. There was something wrong with the map. And I mean, it wasn't oh my God, we're totally lost. But it was just like, we keep going down the same path. We just went that way. No, we didn't. Yes, we... We figured it out eventually.
Mm-hmm. So they've wandered through the maze. They get to about the middle. And in the very center is Stonehenge. Well, a miniature in scale of Stonehenge. And they can hear chanting. And it's Percy's voice, but it doesn't quite sound like him. And it's speaking in a different language.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron wants to know where did Percy learn to speak like that? And mm-hmm. Harry says he didn't.
Yeah.
Percy's possessed.
Mm-hmm. And so Harry gives them their marching orders. And he says, I hate to go Dumbledore on you, but I can't tell you everything. And my plan depends on everybody doing what they're supposed to do. So just do your part and don't worry about anything else. And I need you to trust me. And they're like, all right, we'll trust you.
Apparently going Dumbledore is now within the Harry Potter lexicon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that.
So George has to get Percy to stop the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Hermione has to find a way to breach the outer containment circle so that Ron can push something through.
And Ginny has an important part too.
Mm-hmm. And he tells Ron, you need to remember the time you held Godric's sword. And that's all I can say. Mm-hmm. So...
Just remember. And then he gives Ginny a little peck, and Ginny full-on snogs him, and Ron's all bristly. I know that's my best mate, but he's snogging my sister, and Hermione punches him.
Yeah. So George has to start.
Mm-hmm. And he just kind of goes over and he leans casually against the wall or against one of the stones. And he's like, hey, mate, if you're going to have a party, how come you didn't invite me? Leave now. And there's this, you know, Percy, who's usually immaculately groomed, is ill and pained and his face is pale as parchment. And he's just, you know, a mess. And mm-hmm. George looks disinterested.
And he tells him to go away again. And George says, what in our life together makes you think I'm going to listen to you now?
Yep.
Perfect Percy, big head boy. You're finally doing something naughty. You need my expertise, you dumb prat. I'm in the circle.
Yeah. And then Percy smiles a very strange, evil smile that you would never expect Percy to use. And a completely different voice speaks and says, leave now or I'll kill you slowly. I intend on destroying the rest of the family anyway.
Mm-hmm. No, the rest of my host's family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron's going, he said host. Percy said host. What does that mean? And we need to play a little alien music here or something. I don't know.
Almost a Stargate thing going on. And George says, who are you and what are you doing with my brother?
And the Percy creature, you know, sends a bright purple glow through the barrier and hits George and throws him back. And Ron stands up and almost shouts, but Hermione grabs him and pulls him down and says, shh, quiet. And then... Mm-hmm.
And Ginny, then Judy walks in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Percy's like, what is this, a family reunion?
Yeah, pretty much.
And Ginny says, I know what you are and who you are, and I want you to release my brother and I'll take his place.
And Morgana says, what makes you think you're a worthy vessel for me? And she says, I was a host before, and besides, I'm the correct shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Ron's just like, what's going on?
Ron's just like, But the Percy thing kind of holds out a hand and basically scans her. And yeah, you're right. You have been used before and you are a more fitting vessel. And
so she's walking forwards towards the barrier and Ron's getting panicked and is about to rush forward and do something. And then Harry rushes forward and knocks both Ron and Ginny.
Not Ron.
Through the circle.
Just Harry and Ginny.
Oh, just him and Ginny?
Yeah.
Yeah. It says knocked both him and Ginny, and I wasn't sure if it was referring to Harry or Ron. But yeah, I guess it's Harry.
Basically, he just tackles her through the barrier so he can get through too.
Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm Harry Potter. On behalf of the Weasley family and the Ministry of Magic, I demand you leave this host and depart into the afterlife forthwith. Your Horcrux is to be destroyed immediately.
Yeah, like that's going to work.
Ron's like, Horcrux? Oh, crap!
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, good. I was going to hunt you and destroy you, too. So you're all just coming to me. This is great. I'm not going to have to do any work.
Mm-hmm. But he's got some old phrases he's learned from things about Merlin.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Well, and he's the current guardian of the realm. He's related to Merlin somehow, or.
Of course he is. Mm-hmm. If being descended from the Peverils wasn't enough.
Yeah, Harry's related to everybody.
Yep.
Well, yes.
And so Ron's just like caught up in the soap opera. Hermione's still trying to get through, but she's having a hard time. And then George sneaks up behind him and is like, did you make it through? And Ron about jumps out of his skin again. And they just, you know, they're trying to get through. And then Percy, who's just collapsed because Morgana has come out of him, kind of blinks awake. And Hermione finally gets it up and she's like, hurry, Ron! And he slides the sword underneath the barrier.
Okay, where did he get the sword from?
The lake. They said, we have to stop at the lake.
And oh, that's
tell
right.
us that in a minute.
Okay.
And yeah, they'd had it disguised in wrappings.
Hang on.
This is the first time Ron's really seen it. So they have managed to put the legendary sword Excalibur into the circle.
Mm-hmm.
And because the book that Ron found was The Death of Merlin.
Yeah. So he gets weary in the ministry. Did you already do this part?
And no.
Falls asleep.
Wait, Excalibur's not the same thing as the sword of Gryffindor, right? Or is it?
No.
Okay.
They're saying that Ron needed to be thinking the same way to make it work or something like that.
Okay.
So, and that's how he was able to figure out what to do. He had fallen asleep and pretty much woke up knowing exactly where to look.
I love it when that happens.
And in Merlin's book, it has a passage that, well, handily, first, Merlin's book is enchanted to turn itself into whatever language you recognize, apparently. So Ron can read it. Yay! And then it says, it describes Morgana's book and says it must be destroyed at all costs. And the only weapon that can do that is the sword Excalibur. You can summon the lady, but with these words in some language. And if the cause is just, she'll give up the sword for a short season. So
we get to go stabbing books again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The wizarding world is not kind to books.
No.
Well, not ones that are horcruxes anyway.
And
thankfully, Hermione could translate the string of words that Ron didn't recognize. Yeah. And they managed to find the lake, which is handily on Auntie Muriel's land.
Mm-hmm. Of course it is.
Yeah, well, the plot said so, so that works.
Yeah.
And you know, Percy, you've got to stab the book. And Percy's like, I can't. And Ron's like, you have to. It has to be you. You have to close the door. And Percy's like, I have to bring Fred back. I have to save my family. And George says, Fred's not coming back. And he starts crying. You're here, Percy. He's not. And I'm not going to bury another brother. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And the word brother gets through to Percy. Mm-hmm. And he stands up. And he puts the sword against the book. And Morgana says, you can't destroy that book. You think of your brother, your family. You can't do it. And he says, I am thinking of my family. And he leans against the sword and it kills the Horcrux. And he collapses into darkness.
Oh, my goodness.
The little note says, the Weasleys are a Gryffindor family. They don't grieve like you or I. They need a huge crisis affecting the entire wizard world to sap them out of it.
And we move to chapter 6, which is Percy's point of view. Percy! Go away, George. I'm resting my eyes. No, you're not.
You're dying.
Leave me alone. And it's not George. It's Fred. And all of a sudden, Percy realizes, and his eyes shoot open, and he's wearing soft dress robes, and he is in the ministry, right? I'm sure that's where he is. Yeah, we're at the ministry. And Fred's like, only you would view the jumping off point as the ministry. Mine was the orchard at home. Uncle Billy says hi, by the way. Am I dead? Well, no, you're kind of in the in-between place. Your fate has yet to be decided. And Percy's like, well, who's deciding my fate? Well, you are, of course. And yeah. He shows, and again, we have the magical slideshow or VCR here that goes on.
Yes. Percy's pretty sure he just wants to go with Fred. And mm-hmm. Fred says, oh, you only think that. Let me show you a few things. And he shows them.
This is like the Ghost of Christmas Future.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. He basically shows him all the stuff that happened while he was busy being possessed. So he sees all of them setting out to rescue him and this battle with Morgana. And
George then, picking him up and taking him to St. Mungo's.
Yeah, because Percy's passed out and isn't replying.
Mm-hmm. And the Weasley parents wanting to go with him and being stopped by this pretty little assistant healer.
Mm-hmm. And the... best dark spell damage doctor in the world has been acquired.
Yeah, Charlie
found him. Apparently hard to find. Charlie found him in Poland.
And then the healers are trying to bring him back, but they don't have everything they need. And the healer that's there is like, this is beyond me. I've done everything I can, but he's still dying. And then the healer...
That is a hell of a long paragraph.
Yeah. The healer that Charlie brings in is immediately shown deference and, you know, they get out of the way. And he says, ooh, this is a clever spell. And, you know.
Yeah. It's an entropy spell, which basically is just increasing the speed of Percy's decay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
And so he knows how to stop it, but Percy has to fight back too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, take his hand, hold his hand, talk to him. He tells the assistant healer.
Yeah. Okay. Whose name we learn is Audrey. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Percy's like, I had no idea. Yeah, we left you out, didn't we?
Yeah. Because Bill had Charlie, George had Fred, Ron paired himself off with Harry, and before that kind of followed the twins around.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody really...
Ginny had Mum, but nobody had Percy.
Well, yeah. Poor Percy.
He seemed so self-sufficient that they didn't realize he was lonely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Fred says, I have to go. I've been putting off things while I got you guys straight, but now my work is done. You're going to live, right? I don't want to see you very soon.
Yeah.
Besides,
that healer's taking a liking to you. Mm-hmm. You might have a chance.
Percy nods and they hug and he says, goodbye, Fred.
Yeah.
And we move to the next chapter. Ooh. And we have one last prank. And this is from Molly's point of view. And St. Mungo's staff has given them a room, and she's like, wow, Morgana, what was Percy thinking? If he had succeeded, what would have happened to the world? We thought, you know, Voldemort was bad, but this is.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill and Fleur are sitting together, and they've got Teddy, and I love Teddy. Teddy comes in with his hair blue, but as soon as he sees the Weasley red, he turns it to red. And then I love the trait that some people give him, that once he's asleep, his hair goes back to brown.
Mm.
And Arthur's there, and she's realizing kind of how she pushed Arthur away, because she's thinking about Fred's smile, and Fred and Arthur have the same smile.
Aww.
And she didn't want to see Fred's smile on Arthur, so she was kind of pushing him away.
Mm-hmm. Apparently that was how she told the twins apart, is because mm-hmm. George had a different smile.
Yeah. And she thinks to herself, Fred would have been so upset with her because he was never one to mope or wallow in pity.
Yeah. And then the healer, Audrey, comes in and says, with appropriate therapy, Mr. Weasley should recover with very few ill effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then she says, this is strange and maybe inappropriate, but who's Fred? And they all go, and she's like, okay, I shouldn't have asked. And
mm-hmm.
they tell her, you know, that's our son that just died. And she says, yeah. Well, Percy said something about Fred when he was waking up. And George like, oh, it had to have been Fred. He was the one that made him better. I never told you
Percy was always the one who could needle. Fred was always the one who could get under Percy's skin the most.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I can get under anybody's skin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decide that this has been the best prank ever, and Fred from the grave has pulled off this really great prank of thwarting Morgana.
Because George was having this dream before Angelina woke him up that told him where to look for Percy,
mm-hmm.
and when Ron fell asleep in the archives, he woke up knowing where to find Merlin's book. Mm-hmm. And so Fred's been running around trying to fix everything.
Yeah.
For a while.
The poor
why would that still be a prank, though? Because they're not fooling anybody.
Well, but it's still kind of a prank in that they're causing mayhem and trouble.
Well, they're trying to fix trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
Yeah. He figured he was pranking Morgana more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're wondering, I wonder if Fred somehow put Kingsley's name on the archive request. And Kingsley's like, nope, I signed up myself. hope I'm not intruding.
Yeah. And yeah. He says, I asked Jerry to keep an eye on Percy. And Arthur's like, you investigated my son?
No, I thought he might be having a nervous breakdown.
Because nobody else seemed to give a damn.
Yeah, and I love this. I love Kingsley. Can you tell us why? Charlie says, will you tell me why you think that? And Kingsley said, well, I'd like to, but I'm under an unbreakable vow between Percy that I will not, you know, tell any of the Weasleys. But that vow doesn't cover anybody else. And if the Weasleys happen to be in the room when I tell somebody else about it, then I think I can do it. And Hermione's like, do you mind telling me? And he's like, sure, I'll tell you. And we hear the story.
Yeah. It's like that fairy tale about the princess or somebody who's under a spell and she's not supposed to tell a living soul. And she ends up like talking to the stove or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We skipped over the point that what he's telling them is why he considers Percy the bravest man he's ever known. Mm-hmm. Because, you know,
so Albus should have been named Albus Percy Potter?
Yes, apparently.
Apparently.
Well,
if he's been named by Kingsley anyway.
Yeah, because this is the bravest man Kingsley ever knew, not the bravest man Harry.
It's Kingsley says, you know, I was just keeping an eye on him because I was worried. And Arthur tries to thank him and he says, it's the least I could do for the bravest man I've ever known. And Bill says, who do you mean, Dad? And, no, I mean Percy.
Right.
And then we get the story of why. Yeah.
Which is that Percy figured out pretty quick that he was wrong, but he didn't want the family to be in danger, so he didn't go home. And the night that the ministry fell and Scrimgeour was taken, he went up to deliver some TPS reports and heard Scrimgeour being tortured. And Scrimgeour had previously come to him and said, please kill me if, you know, don't let me tell where Harry is. And so he sent his Patronus to Shacklebolt to let him know that the ministry was falling and to get the Weasleys out. And then bold as brass, he walked in the door and said, who's in charge here? And Voldemort's like, well, if I say me, what are you going to do about it? And Percy said, give you these reports. And that just intrigued Voldemort enough that he didn't kill him. And so Percy sort of has an in with the Death Eaters now. They sort of trust him. And so he's sending messages to Shacklebolt and getting muggles out, and he's protecting people. And he told them where Harry was because he knew Shacklebolt had got the family away. And he knew that Scrimgeour would tell anyhow. And so that even more cemented his in with the Death Eaters. So he, you know, worked hand in glove, but he was doing it so that he could sabotage them. And he had to be very brave to be able to do that.
Oh, Percy.
Yeah. It's a really neat part, this part. It just, you know, gives you tingles. And it's a great way to look at Percy because so many people look at him like he's the one that should have died. And, you know, and it's just a really neat way to see this. And Shacklebolt says, the minute I told him about the Battle of Hogwarts, he came with no hesitation. So.
And now Kingsley is a bit worried because he needs to figure out some way, some excuse for Percy to have taken this book. Otherwise, because he doesn't want to fire him or have him arrested or anything like that. And Molly says, well, if you're needing a story to get somebody off the hook, George is your man.
Yeah.
There's no one better at alibis than George.
And George is like, no, it's always Fred. And she says, nope, Fred's moved on. You can do this.
Yeah. Fred was the one who came up with the ideas. You were the one who always talked about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Hermione says, if this helps George, Harry's hunch about some of these spells looking familiar was correct. Tom Riddle and basically Grindelwald had both looked at the list as well.
Yeah, they both signed out this book before.
And so George starts thinking, and all of a sudden he gets this grin. He says,
Ministry law states that a Horcrux, once revealed, is to be destroyed immediately. So if...
Well, I would bloody well hope so.
Just yep. happens to see those names in the records, having checked out the book, and then realized that the book was a Horcrux, he'd obviously have to destroy it.
Mm-hmm. But it's considered a valuable artifact, so it probably wouldn't be allowed to be destroyed by typical means, so he had to sneak the book out in order to destroy it.
Yeah. Wait, but if it's a Horcrux, you can destroy it, so why does it matter that it's a valuable artifact if you need to destroy it because it's a Horcrux?
But nobody might, they might not believe him, or they might argue with him, or they might, so well, he yeah. was doing what he could to get it done expediently. And mm-hmm. Hermione says, I've got notes, and St. Mungo's records about his brush with dark magic should go a long way. And there you go. And Kingsley's like, that'll work. And then Molly has an idea.
She has many ideas.
She sends Ginny and Hermione home to get packed for Hogwarts. She sends Harry and Ron home to clean up to take the young ladies out. She sends Charlie out for a haircut. And she tells Arthur that he needs to take Fleur to get some food. And if he happens to run into that nice little healer, that maybe she could take over Percy's case. Because Molly is a matchmaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's going to plan a baby shower with Fleur's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. George is supposed to go and talk to Angelina and yes. thank her properly.
Yeah. And she tells Percy, I'm proud of you. And you can rest. Everything's figured out now. And we're on to chapter 7, Victoire.
Okay, hold on. Before Victory. We get to that, the author's note
mm-hmm.
seems to indicate that it was a sudden epiphany, but Percy says when he meets the rest of the family, it'd been coming on for a few months.
At what point? What are we talking about?
At the bottom in the author's note. Where's the beginning of the sentence?
Yeah. He's talking about how in Deathly Hallows, Percy says he heard about the final battle, and he thinks that his change of heart was really abrupt from being full-on ministry man to coming to the final battle. And you're saying that it was actually not that abrupt after all?
No, because in canon it wasn't that abrupt, because he said it'd been coming on for a few months.
But it still seemed abrupt to them, because they didn't know that.
Oh, in that sense. That's true.
Yeah.
I'm tired. Leave me alone.
It's all right.
No, you have a point. But Bartimus thought it was too abrupt for Percy anyway, so he decided that he should have been an inside man all along, basically.
Mm-hmm. And a hero. Mm-hmm. So we have our point of view is from Healer Audrey's point of view this time. And she's dressed in her best robes because she's going to a baby shower. And of course, her romance with Percy is sort of the worst kept secret in all of St. Mungo's.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But she did kind of fall for him because the first thing he did was ask about everyone but himself when he finally woke up.
Oh, Percy. And, well, Harry does the same thing.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a little different from the back of the rest of his family. They're all laid back and accepting, and he's, you know, business oriented. But they do all right together. And she usually is, you know, attracted to the naughty boys. So this good boy Percy is kind of different, but she thinks he might be the one.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to talk to her. He says, we've been seeing each other for a while now, and I think we've been getting along famously. So we're about to have our first family get together. And well, I want to introduce you to my family formally, if you don't mind. And she's like, formally is what? And he said, my girlfriend? She's like, yes, Percy.
I've been your girlfriend for a few weeks now.
Yep.
Well, that's different, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to be official, you know?
Mm-hmm. Then yeah. we have Bill, who's trying to go to this party, and Fleur has decided she's fat and pregnant and she's not leaving the house.
Yeah.
And her mom and sister are trying everything to get her to leave. And finally he goes over and says, let me do it. And she's like, no, I look horrible. You can't make me go. And he says, okay. I'm just, he thinks about what Arthur would do. I love that. And he's okay. I'll just go and tell Mom that you are not coming and she'll understand. It'll be okay. And she's like, oh, you can't do that. I'm coming.
Oh,
good reverse psychology. Good job. And they, you know, her mom and sister do her all up and she looks horrible. She doesn't look horrible anymore. She looks beautiful. And then we have, I know, I love her. We've got Angelina. George, come on, we're going to be late. And I love this because this is where we're introduced to the two house elves. And we have Sweetie, and she's the sister of Dinky. And Dinky is an elf that just likes pain. He likes to get hurt.
Yeah.
So he's a masochist.
And so he's the perfect test. He likes tinkering. Elf.
Yeah. He reminds me of basically the stereotypical like Dragonlance gnome, because they're the ones who keep inventing all these outlandish things and blowing themselves up and doing all sorts of stuff. So that's kind of what he's Dinky is in this case.
Yeah. And Dinky had to go to St. Mungo's because he blew himself up again. He's burned his hand.
Mm-hmm. Dear.
I like this. Sweetie's come to let her know that George and Dinky had left for St. Mungo's, and that's why George isn't interesting. Because Dinky burned his hand again, and she says, how bad was it? Dinky seemed very happy, so I'm thinking it must be bad.
Yeah, because the more pain he's in, the happier he is.
Masochist.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, but he comes back, he's heavily bandaged, and he's got his goggles on his forehead. And
he's adorable. I want fan art of this Dinky guy. And so George says, hang on a minute, I have to go get something, and then he comes bouncing back out, and he's like, well, come on, Slowpoke, we don't want to be late. Yeah, and he's written a toast.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we have Arthur. And then
we shift to Arthur's point of view. Mm-hmm. And he's up in the attic with the ghoul, who is asleep. Apparently glad there's enough noise now for him to sleep.
Yes.
Ghouls are apparently backwards to most people.
And he has been working on something, and he's gone up to get it because he stashed it up there.
So George has come in with Angelina, has a smudge on his cheek from a tiny explosion.
Just a tiny one. And Bill and Fleur have arrived, and she looks absolutely radiant, and the rest of her family fit right in. Molly's happily in the kitchen making a feast. Harry and Hermione have showed up with Ginny and Ron.
Arthur's glad that it looks pretty likely they're going to be officially family any time now. Then there's a trunk in the attic that has Fred's initials on it.
Yeah.
It's a little charred around the edges.
I want to know what his middle name is.
Bilious.
It's Bilious.
No, that's wrong.
No, it's he's named after Molly's brothers.
Yeah, normally it should be FGW.
Oh, okay.
Frederick Gideon and George Fabian, I think.
Yeah.
But
this one we don't know. I wasn't paying attention to what the initials actually were, so I get that.
Yeah. I would guess it was Bilious again, but maybe it's something else if they did give that one to Ron. So who knows?
Bart.
Could be. Seeing maybe it's Bartimus.
Seeing as how that's the author's name, too. And he says, just really quietly, glad you could make it, Fred. And when he goes in, there's an empty chair between George and Percy. So they left a chair for him, too. And he sits down, this thing, and he says, clears his throat, and he says, all the old wizarding families have their own coat of arms and motto. So he came up with one, too. And he's got a red field, and it's got a gold ragged... Regularly? What is that word? Does anybody know? Scott usually knows these things.
Would be, I don't know that one specifically, but it's like the kinds of words that they use in heraldry. Most of the heraldry is kind of bastardized French words.
Okay.
When you're actually describing a coat of arms or something like that. So it probably describes what kind of zigzag it is or something.
So
like
it
that.
Means troubles encountered. And then there's a what? Castle battlement that means uh-huh. protection. And there's lions, one passive and one fierce. And
oh, no weasels?
No, there's representations of all the children. And then an empty space for the grandchildren. And so they have a guardian angel looking out for them. Percy says, yeah, I think you're right. And then I'm not even going to try the French. Somebody want to try the French?
I don't speak French.
Or whatever well, it is. It's probably not
I know
French.
One word in French.
Oh, yes, it is. It's Ensemble, nous avons la victoire, which is together we win. Mm-hmm. And that gives Fleur the name of what to name it, daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it ends up fitting perfectly because she's born mm-hmm. on the 2nd of May.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is the canon reason that they named you that.
Yeah, but yeah.
This works too.
Yeah.
And then George stands up for his toast. For those we love who are still here, we pledge our love and give three cheers. For those we love who cannot be, we give a salute to these three, the Potters, the Tonks, and Sirius too, and to my fine brother Fred, ears to you. And then everybody yeah. shouts, ear, ear.
Yeah, and George takes his ear out as he says this, of course, because mm-hmm. he's got a fake one.
Yeah, and the Dillikers are just appalled, but everybody else loves it. And then they're drinking glasses of wine, and Percy's glass spouts wine everywhere. And
it makes a mess.
The newest prank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. George was like, I'm not sure what to call it. I was thinking maybe Weasley's fountain flask, and they settle eventually on Percy's geyser goblet.
And Molly is mortified and has to clean up after them.
Too bad they didn't go with George with the alliteration, but Percy would be happy to have something named after him.
Mm-hmm. And then at the end, it's Arthur and Molly letting the house settle around them and saying, victory, victoire, Weasley. I like the sound of that.
Jeez. And, you know, Arthur is thinking, he was thinking for a long time, you know, Fred's gone, it'll never be the same, the magic is gone. But then he realized something, that even after an old spell is gone, you can still make new magic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're going to do.
Yep, the end.
Yeah, and I found pictures of what Raguli line is. It's basically little inset teeth, almost like saw teeth, or they're little parallelograms. It looks like the sort of cartoon version of the feathers on an arrow.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got one of those.
Can you send a picture?
Going all the way around the shield shape.
Okay.
Most of these are not that. They have, you know, some line partway through the thing, but I can send you one of those. Here we go.
Oh, okay.
We're finishing up just in time. My feet are getting cold.
Oh, it's 10:45. This is nice.
Yeah, not too late.
No.
That's a good story.
It is a good story. Yeah. I love seeing Percy come out the hero.
Me too.
And it's nice that they managed to find some closure through all this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took, you know, a terrible thing, but it was what they all needed to kind of draw themselves back out of their solitude that they all kind of went into with the death of Fred. And it pulls the family back together. It's really neat.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Fred working behind the scenes to fix everything.
That was amazing.
Yeah. It's not like Fox Ears. We didn't get Fred back, but I still think it was a really neat story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to see Percy get his due, because Percy doesn't get his due a lot. And mm-hmm. I think he did a really good job of making all of the characters really shine. You know, mm-hmm. Ron got his moment.
Different things that they're good at.
Mm-hmm.
And they all get to do them, even though we don't see much of Charlie doing his thing. It was still pretty important.
Oh, yeah.
Running around from Romania to Poland, apparently.
Yeah. Basically promised the healer whatever he needed. Whatever it would cost, he would figure out the money and pay him just go save my brother.
So. As a Slytherin, that sounds very ominous to be promising anything. I mean, I get it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, but
it's his family. My family. So neat story. I'm glad we put it on. We talked about it several times and it was, I'm glad we covered it. Yeah.
Barnabas writes a lot of neat things. Mm-hmm. There's a few more Harry Potter ones. There's the Year of the Badger, which we covered already, the Black Badger Society, that's the sequel to that. And there's a number of Sherlock Holmes and Watson stories as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently, interestingly, pictures Watson as played by Ian Hart, who was also the actor for Quirrell.
Oh, right. So. No wonder that name sounded familiar. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of fun. And there's various other random Luna Fix and Cormac McLaggen. And
Cormac McLaggen is not a thing you see often.
No.
Mm-hmm. It's the everything you wanted to know about Cormac. Oh, wait. It's not Cormac McLaggen. It's Cormac Collins from Albus Potter. It's one of his roommates.
Oh, yeah.
A mysterious roommate who's... well, I won't spoil it in case you haven't listened to the Albus Potter ones.
Oh, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've listened to all the podcasts, finally, and I won't remember. So,
well, we can spoil some interesting things in his background if we want.
That's true. Yes, Cormac is the.
Kind of like, I can't remember his name now. That's terrible. The guy on Critical Hit. Are you caught up on Critical Hit, Scott?
Pretty much, yeah.
So do you know the
latest one?
Sakaar,
yes.
Yes, thank you. I couldn't remember.
There's a guy who's part...
But he's part something else.
Oh.
Yeah. He turns out to be a half vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my!
Nobody knew that until two episodes ago.
Two episodes ago, and then it came out. It's like, oh, okay.
I didn't know vampires. That's why he can
occasionally turn into mist. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. And he only drinks blood occasionally.
So. Yeah, yeah. It looks like a vast majority of his stories these days are some variation of Sherlock. There are some that are based on the books or based on the Ian Hart portrayal of Watson. There are some that are based on the new BBC series, these other ones. The Black Badger Society is his most recent Harry Potter one, which was itself written in, it looks like it's not complete and was last updated in 2012. So sadly, that's why we didn't cover that one. His most recent story at all is MASH story from July 2013. So there you go. All sorts of different things that Barnabas writes.
Yeah. We interviewed him, didn't we?
I think we did. Yeah. I know I talked to him quite a bit, so I think we did.
Okay.
But we should close this out, and I'm going to go find kittens.
Yeah.
So that was our coverage of After Magic by Barnabas Crotchety, which you can find on fanfiction.net. I don't think we said that in the beginning. We will, of course, link it in the show notes so you can go there directly, or you'll find it on our list of Season 8 fix. Our next one of those, I do not have in front of me and don't remember, but I think we're going to another longer fix, so we'll have
it's Dudley's Dilemma, if I remember correctly.
Ah, yes, that's a good one. Sort of an answer to some of the other Dudley Has a Magical Child fix where he's basically Vernon 2.0. Mm-hmm. And in this version, he kind of steps up a little bit more.
Yes.
So
I think I've read that one.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be fun to cover as well. You can come back next week or 2 weeks or whenever we manage to put that one out. Mm-hmm. And that we will let you know.
6 months from now.
Well, it'll only be 2 weeks from the time that they hear this. 6 months from the time that we do the recording, but soon. But then I have to get Mr. Scott to...
The Dungeons & Dragons one, but still some progress.
Well, that's good. I need the intro music. I need the intro put together.
Mm-hmm, that's what I've been working on.
Oh, good.
putting our little Dungeons and Dragons name drop things in.
No, I know, but I need the intro for season 8.
Oh,
Woofy put one together, but I don't have it, so I need to maybe hunt down what he put down. I might be able to do that.
Okay.
So, because I started the third Melinda fic, and I was like, I don't have a intro to put in here. I started to put one in, I was like, oh, wait, that's last season. I need a new one.
Yes, I suppose we do.
So,
yeah.
The D&D one, we'll play with.
You know, I just realized at the rate I'm going, I won't have any to listen to this season.
Because you don't listen to the ones you're in?
No, because I hate hearing myself talk.
We're going to have to boot you.
Yeah, she can just listen to Point of View Weekly instead.
Oh, right. And I have permission to share this.
Okay.
But Sue, you already know what I'm going to say.
Okay.
But for Scott's benefit, Scarlett's engaged.
Oh, good for her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Congrats, Scarlett. We're very happy for you.
They don't have a date yet.
Proof that poof, what time does actually pass.
Say, I know.
Like, wait, isn't she like 16? No, she's not.
No, she's like, I don't remember how old 16. She is.
Anyway. Ryan's like, wait, she's 13. She can't be engaged. He didn't say that to her, of course. But, yeah.
How could he forget that Scarlett's like, but after college, because we had a party for her, sort of.
I know, but he still thinks of her as that. He says, if June gets engaged, all bets are off. Because then all the young ones will have grown up. And that's he's true. Not going to know what to do with it. So.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, for crying out loud, E-Baby is what?
13? She's
not a baby.
She's not a baby anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
But she still likes her mac and cheese.
Huge.
Yeah. Yes.
I like my mac and cheese, too. Don't knock mac and cheese.
I'm not knocking mac and cheese. We had really good mac and cheese for lunch today.
I had lobster mac and cheese once.
When I was in Boston, they had lobster ice cream. Ooh, ice cream.
Why would you do that to the ice cream?
Apparently, it turned out well. Didn't he say that was one of their more popular ones once people actually tried it or something?
Yeah, but I was full. It was right after lunch and I was stuffed, so we didn't try it. But because we went out with Melinda. That's when we kidnapped Melinda. That was when her kid said, "What do you mean you're meeting somebody off the internet? Sue could be a serial killer. You can't go out with her." And then we kidnapped her and she forgot her phone at home, so they couldn't get in touch with her.
Oh, dear.
Oops.
I have it on good authority that she's not a serial killer.
Well, that's not true. I was a serial killer for Halloween a couple of years ago.
Well.
Depends on whether you count, chickens and rats and things.
That's true. I have been known.
And skunks.
You're the official executioner.
I am the official executioner around here. It's very bad. We shouldn't share that out too much.
Yeah, you've said it before.
I know.
But you can also edit this part out.
It's a terrible thing.
Kind of went rambling in the middle of our ending.
Yes, no, we should end this because I just reminded myself that there's ice cream at the house. Now I have two things I have to do. Kittens and ice cream.
Yes.
I want ice cream.
Thank you, Bartimus, for a really good story. We enjoyed it very much. And we're glad that we were able to add you to the schedule once again.
Yes. Hopefully you've enjoyed our coverage. If you haven't, I'm surprised you're still listening, but, come leave a comment and tell us why.
Yes.
We have a forum where we post separate threads for each episode, potterficforum.com, or you can find us on Facebook at the Poufwa Facebook group. That is P-O-U-F-W-A, because that's how Ryan decided it's spelt. And that is where you will probably find notices of when the next episodes are coming out, both of this podcast and of Point of View Weekly, which is our other most current podcast. You might occasionally see one for the Poufwa Exchange, which is where we do this kind of thing, but for other fandoms. And Point of View Weekly, we try and talk about topics, but mostly just ramble about whatever's going on in our lives at the time. Mm. Hopefully you enjoyed it and, feel free to come listen to our other podcasts as we go.
Yes.
With that, I guess I will say from all of us here at the Potterfic Weekly Studios, which are not in Fargo, North Dakota, whatever they tell you, I have been Scott.
I am always Sue.
I am, at least for these purposes, Mooney.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night.
So hold on to the wonder that those books brought to our lives.
Keep each other safe. Keep faith. Good night.